This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Charlotte City Council expanded a local ordinance to provide protections to members of LGBT communities. Although the changes include a number of protections, the most controversial issue is allowing transgender people to use the bathroom that corresponds with their gender identity. At a public meeting on Monday, the Charlotte City Council voted 7-4 in favor of the ordinance. It'll take effect April 1st. Governor McCrory says he's going to take action to block the new protections. He and Republican lawmakers say they're going to try to overturn it. Sarah D'Elia is a reporter at WFAE in Charlotte, and she joins me now. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Tell us what this ordinance does.
What this ordinance does is basically extend protections for LGBT folks in Charlotte. And specifically, this means that they can't be discriminated by businesses. They can't be refused service at a hotel, using a taxi, at a restaurant, based on their gender identity, their gender expression, their marital status, their family status. So basically, it's just extending those protections, saying you can't be denied based on your sexual orientation.
And by extending, you mean these are very common equal rights protections that we're used to, but in fact, they did not apply to people from LGBT communities. And so that's what this ordinance does then. It extends it and includes people in those communities.
Correct.
And it doesn't include workplaces, I understand. Is that right?
That's right. There were some protections from the city that were already in place. So actually, prior to this ordinance, you could actually, if you were a transgender person and you were in a city building, you could actually use the bathroom that you were most comfortable using. But only if you were in a city building. These protections didn't extend if you were out in public, if you were at a Panthers game and wanted to use the restroom, that sort of thing.
Right. And I'm also speaking of businesses which can choose to hire. And so while we have come, again, familiar with equal rights protection in terms of race and gender when it comes to hiring, this ordinance doesn't extend to businesses in terms of hiring practices, or am I right about that? I believe it does not include hiring practices, that part is left out. So in other words, it's still up to businesses to choose. So just to sort of sort out what this does and doesn't do. But now let's get to the bathrooms, because that's the controversial part. So what is it about, how do these protections extend to restrooms?
So basically what this allows for restrooms, and this is the hot button issue of this ordinance, is it says that if you are, for example, if you're a transgender woman, if you live your life as a woman, you identify as a woman, you may not have the anatomy of a woman, but you, for all intents and purposes, are a woman, you can use the women's restroom, and you will be protected if somebody tries to do something. You have that right as a person in Charlotte to use the women's restroom.
Right. And tell us the history behind this ordinance, because it's not the first time it's come to the city council, right?
No, it's been in our news cycle for over a year now. And it's really interesting because it almost did pass about a year ago in our city council. They were really going back and forth with it. And the reason they were going back and forth was because of this bathroom issue. And so what happened was Vi Lyles, a city councilwoman, said, okay, let me throw out an amendment to this. Let's take the bathroom issue off the table and let's just offer these protections to LGBT people in Charlotte. And what ended up happening was there was one vote that was needed to pass it. And LaWanna Mayfield, who's an openly gay councilwoman in Charlotte, said, you know, I was for this ordinance, but it's either all or it's nothing. It's not something that I'm willing to compromise. So she actually voted against the ordinance. And it's been on the table and been in debate ever since.
Interestingly enough, it passed this time 7-4. So what made the difference?
What made the difference was adding the bathroom provision back on. And we have a relatively new mayor, Jennifer Roberts, and this was something that she also campaigned on. Jennifer Roberts did not vote. The mayor doesn't vote unless there's a tie. But she, you know, said that this was something that she felt strongly for. She knew that she had the votes in support of it. And that's what pushed it over the edge, and it passed on Monday night.
7-4 is the vote. It goes into effect the 1st of April, but the governor wants to stop that, and he says he's got legislative support to keep these protections from going into effect. Dan Bishop is a Republican state representative from Mecklenburg County. He says the ordinance might make it illegal to have female and male-only bathrooms. And so he calls it, you know, a kind of segregation that would be illegal. Could that happen?
Our understanding is that's not what the ordinance is about. Our city attorney, Bob Hageman, came out and responded to Dan Bishop's statements. And he said, to quote him, it was not the city's intent to eliminate gender-specific facilities. The intent is to allow transgender individuals to use the bathroom of their choosing of the gender that they identify with. It is not to eliminate women's only or men's only. I mean, people shouldn't have – businesses shouldn't have to be adding bathrooms if they don't want to. I mean, this isn't eliminating bathrooms. This is just allowing transgender individuals to use the bathroom that they identify with.
You were at a public meeting on Monday. Tell us what happened there.
Oh, boy. It was a long night, and it was a packed city council meeting, which it usually isn't, but the chamber room, which holds 250 people, was filled to the brim. The city supplied 5 overflow rooms, and those were all packed. And then there were people waiting in the lobby. A lot of people wanted to there were also people protesting. A lot of people came from out of town. People really wanted their voices to be heard, and they also wanted to hear what was going to happen. There were people who supported the ordinance, had signs that said, facts, not fear, and don't discriminate Charlotte. And then you had opponents of the ordinance that said, no men in women's restrooms, that sort of thing. There were over 140 people that had registered to give a 1-minute public comment, and we were listening to public comments for about 2.5 hours that night.
All right. So, again, a hot issue. It drew a lot of attention, and yet the vote was 7-4. What are city council members saying after the meeting, after that meeting that night?
After that meeting that night, you know, they had sat through 2.5 hours of public comments, and some of those comments were directed towards very specific council members or the mayor herself. So they each took the time. It was about a half hour to explain why they were going to vote the way that they did. So we had Councilman Al Austin, who is openly gay, and he gave a speech sort of, you know, that we are in the community, we are here. These are just basic rights that should have been given to the LGBT community a long time ago, and that it's just time, and that people think of Charlotte as a very progressive city, and that that it's time. Then you have folks that voted against the ordinance, like Claire Fallon, who actually voted for it last time, and she said that she didn't feel like it was a very fair and balanced public hearing, that you didn't hear from people on the other side. We only heard from LGBT folks during that public hearing, and she also added that she felt that the public was scared about this bathroom ordinance, and that's why she couldn't vote for it.
Well, partly is because of some of the misinformation, I guess, that we've heard about this. The fact is that you can still segregate these by gender. So any misinformation you'd be getting from other sources, this may help clear that up. So Dan Bishop may have been incorrect in his interpretation of the law, as Governor McCrory. But that remains to be seen. The governor does say, once again, the governor and the legislature want to intervene in local affairs, and they say they're going to do something about this. You have any idea what's in store and what they plan to do to try to stop it?
Well, House Speaker Representative Tim Moore came out less than 24 hours saying that whatever the state can do to intervene with this ordinance in Charlotte, they're going to look into it. And Governor McCrory has said that he will support whatever the state legislature would like to do. So they can look at it. I mean, they go back and the effects, the ordinance goes into effect on April 1st. And that's also the month of April is when they go back to their short session. So April's going to be a really interesting time, not only in Raleigh, but to see what they're going to do in Charlotte.
Busy month. A lot on the plate of the state legislature here in the state of North Carolina. A lot of the people's business to be done. We'll see how the bathrooms of Charlotte fit into their agenda. Meanwhile, in other news, and it may or may not be related, but the timing is interesting. City Manager Ron Carley is stepping down. He's announced that recently. I know it's a developing story, but what do we know about that decision?
It is a developing story, and we have not interviewed him ourselves, so we're not quite sure what his reasons were. His contract is up in March, but he did give a letter to the mayor and members of the Charlotte City Council, and there are two interesting things in that letter that I'll quote from. He said, "The work that I came to help the city council achieve has largely been accomplished." And then he went on to say, "I'm especially proud of the council's action this week to amend the city's non-discrimination ordinance to provide protections for the LGBT community." So again, it's a developing story. There could be many factors as to why he's deciding to leave his position now. But It is an interesting time in Charlotte, and that he decided this week to do that.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Sarah D'Elia is a reporter at WFAE in Charlotte. Just ahead, we're going to talk about the state of frogs in North Carolina, why some frog species are disappearing, and what that means for us. But later in the show, we're going to talk with comedians Randy and Jason Sklar. Turns out they're in the area to find out what's so funny about Raleigh. They're piloting a new TV show for the Travel Channel. It looks at the wrinkles and weirdnesses of particular places. They were even in my hometown of Buffalo, New York. I wonder what was funny about that. Anyway, they're here, so we want to hear from you because they would like to know what they should see when they're in Raleigh to give them some tips about kind of the weirdness of this place, if you think it is. 877-962-9862. You can join the conversation and talk to Randy and Jason Sklar a little later on in the show. But first, the frogs, and first this on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.